Well, good morning. First of all, I want to say thank you all so much for all the love and support that we have received from all of you. All the cards, everything, since I've gotten hired, but also with Mason being sick and everything. We're just so thankful and blessed to now be part of this family. And so I also want to say thank you for picking me as your next preacher. And I look forward to growing. I know that I'm young and that I have a lot of experience yet to get, but I look forward to growing with each one of you. And I cannot say thank you enough. And I look forward to the next, who knows how long as God wills it. Today our topic is one of my favorite things to think about and to talk about. And it's something that is preached about a lot. And you hear people talking about it and saying, hey, we need to do this more. It's talking about how to encourage. How to encourage people, especially people that are in times of trouble, people that are starting new adventures in life, people that are just in need of some sort of encouragement. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, we talk about this a lot. It's spoken pretty much every Sunday in some form, whether it's to be encouraged or to encourage others. Do we really know what it means? Definition that I have for us is to give support, confidence, or hope to someone. To give support and advice to someone so that they will do or continue to do something. Or to help or stimulate an activity, state, or view to develop. When we encourage somebody, we do it in a manner to build them up, to strengthen people, to give, and yes, at times, advice can be difficult to give. It can be difficult to receive. But we're doing it with an attitude that we're looking to somebody and we're saying, you can do this. You can do great things. You might have things that you need to fix, but you can do it. When we look at how it's used in the Bible, the word that we see, there's a couple words, but the one that we see used the most often is parakaleo. And it's used 105 times in the New Testament. It can be translated as to comfort or implore, to beseech, to plea, to urge, or to encourage. Some version of this word is used in all but one of Paul's letters to the churches. The only exception to that is Galatians. Why he didn't feel the need to use this word during his letter to the Galatians, I don't know. But to every other church, he talked about it. He talked about encouraging, or he urged people to do what was right. We see it examples like in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, I urge you, parakaleo, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And this one was interesting. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts," parakaleo, "us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort," same word, "those who are in any affliction with the comfort," same word, I forgot to mark it on here, "with which we ourselves have been comforted," same word. Paul in this verse uses parakaleo 4 times. If we go back to where it says the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, that word there is different from parakaleo. But this is how important it is that Paul is telling the church in Corinth to comfort one another, to encourage, to strengthen, to build up, to implore, beseech, plea, urge, take care of one another. God helps us in all kinds of ways. Ways that we realize and ways that we don't. And he comforts us. And Paul urges them to comfort each other in that same way. I think about the First Corinthian letter that Paul sent out. And it was difficult to read for the church of Corinth. Paul was making a statement, telling them, "You guys need to shape up." And Paul was so nervous that he sent the letter out. He was afraid that they were going to kill the messenger. But in 2 Corinthians, he's overjoyed. Why? Because they received the letter. It was difficult, but they started to make the changes that they needed to succeed. And he says, "God comforted me because," why? "Because you received the word. You received it and you started to listen and he comforted me, and now look, I can comfort others." Think about how we can encourage people, how we can comfort people, how we can help people and strengthen people. And so I have for us 5 different ways that we can do that. The first is offer genuine praise. Offering genuine praise to people. In Proverbs 27, verse 2, "Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, but a stranger, and not your own lips." People will praise us and compliment us, and at times, what do? "Oh yeah, thank you," and we don't really believe them, or at least we don't, we at times think, "Oh yeah, well, they didn't really mean it." But instead, when we receive that praise, we take it. People don't just speak, or they shouldn't just speak to hear themselves talk. They will offer genuine praise, and at times we need to not just ignore that or brush it off as though they're just being nice, but we need to remember that they really do think that we did a good job. And in turn, we can offer that praise to other people. If we see them doing a good job, praise people. Praise them for doing a good job. Just this morning, we were getting ready, and I was taking my good old time, and Laura was getting herself ready, getting the kids ready, getting hair done, and all this other stuff that goes into it. And what did I do? I took the time to say, hey, thank you. Thank you for doing that so I could concentrate on getting done what I needed to get done. Celebrate those little victories with people. Those little moments where, hey, they did something right. They might have a string of, here is bad thing after bad thing after bad thing, sin after sin after sin. They make one correct choice. You better believe I'm celebrating with them. Because I'm encouraging them to continue to make the right choice going forward. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, showing brotherly love to those that are around us. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important as yourselves. Other people may have greater needs than we do, and we need to remember we can meet those needs. And it might be, hey, they need praise. They need to feel appreciated. A lot of times we think about, here's somebody that we just take for granted. They just do what they're doing. They do it every week. And we just say, oh, yeah, I can always rely on them. And yet, when's the last time you took the time to thank them? When's the last time that you took the time to say, I appreciate all the work that you're doing? And you're not doing that to build yourself up, but to build them up. Hebrews 10:24, we usually talk about the Hebrews 10:25, but it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How do we do that? By recognizing the work that people are putting in. By recognizing the good things that people are doing. And praising them for it, encouraging them, saying, hey, keep moving forward. Keep doing what is right. Keep working hard. People will come to church and they say, well, I just kind of was there. Nobody talked to me. Nobody welcomed me. Nobody did anything. I just kind of, and some people say, I came for 3 months and nobody learned my first name. Think about, you could start by praising them that they came, that they decided to come here instead of doing whatever else they wanted to do on a Sunday morning. And what you're doing, you're welcoming them. You're telling them, hey, good job. Keep doing what is right, what is important. The next thing is to set a good example. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Also in Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Paul says, look, I'm imitating. I'm following Jesus. My life is an example. If you put a mirror to my face, hopefully you would see Jesus because of how I'm representing my life. So he encourages us, be like him. Follow the example that Paul is following. Because the example that Paul is following is even greater than he is. And so we follow the examples that are given to us. When we come into times of trouble, when we come into times of some difficulties, some temptations, where do we go for answers? Where do we look? We look to Christ. We look to see how Christ dealt with similar circumstances. He might not deal with exactly word for word what you are dealing with. But I guarantee if you look hard enough, you can find whatever it is that you're dealing with. And you can see exactly how Christ dealt with it. Not only is that important for yourself, but think about the example that you're setting for those that are around you. Each of us has a role that we can play. Each of us has a job to do in the church. And you might be, well, I'm old, I'm retired, and I can't move very well. Guess what? You can be an example to those that are around you. At East Tacoma, we had a lady there. All sorts of health issues, dialysis, and can barely walk. She has to ride a little scooter around. Amazing. Every visitor that comes in, every female visitor that comes in, leaves there with a little bracelet that she made. Little bracelet. She has one of those rock polishers. And she puts them together and she gives them to the visitors. And I think the first time we visited East Tacoma, she gave us, you know, Monica and Laura one, and we tried to pay her. And she, no. And she wants to do that. That's what she can do. And she's an example to everyone because she comes every single week without miss. In the 4 years I was there, I think she missed once, and it was because she had dialysis that day. Being that example to people. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Think about all the people. You turn on the news, you turn on the TV, you turn on anything, and you look and you see all these people who are calling themselves Christian, yet do their actions back up their words? It's so sad to me when I turn on something and I see somebody who calls themselves a Christian, then the next thing out of their mouth is all kinds of swear words, gossip, lies. And I say, wow, you're really living that faith that you claim to have. And so if we claim, hey, we are part of the body, we are part of the church, we need to live like it. We need to walk like it. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in your heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to remember, we need to consider when this is being spoken. Here are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, and what are they doing? They're putting all these traditions and all these different ways of worshiping God onto the backs of the Jewish people. And it's it's getting so difficult to worship God because of, here's all the ceremonial washings, here's all the, if I go in, go out of my house and then come back and I have to spend some time washing my feet and my hands and all these other different things that are put on them, and we can't carry all that burden. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now consider those that are sitting next to you. What are they carrying? What burden are they carrying? What difficulty do they have in their life? How can you support them? How can you help them? How can you follow the example of Jesus and make their life just even a tiny bit better? One brother that I was talking to recently told me he wakes up every single morning and he says, how can I make somebody's life a little bit better? And I said, okay, well, what do you do? What is it that you do then? And he says, it can be as small as sending a text message to somebody, to going and helping rebuild their car. Whatever it is, I know that even the smallest gesture can go a long way. He set the example for me, and that's what I try to do. That's what I look to try and do to help people, to relieve some of the burden on them. The next is active listening, and this is for our husbands or soon-to-be husbands out there. Because husbands, we tend to not do a great job at active listening. Active listening is the idea of, I'm going to remove all distractions from my life. Turn off cell phones, turn off TV. Guess what? If you're watching the Seahawks and you need to watch the Seahawks, we now have all kinds of technology. Pause the game. If you still have a VCR, I can buy you a VCR tape so you can record the game. But you remove all that and you sit there and you make eye contact, you listen, you nod along, you ask questions, you actively listen to whatever the issue is. And by doing that, you're engaging with the person, showing them, hey, you are the most important thing right now. All the other stuff that I got going on, all that can wait, all that can be on pause. I'm wanting to help you and listen to you right now. In James 1:19, something that we talked about just this morning in our James class, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Proverbs 17:27 and 28, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Men, when we hear our wives starting to complain about something or have an issue, or, hey, so our child's not listening, or hey, I just need to talk to you for a minute, I got this going on, we tend to just want to hurry up and solve the issue. Hey, so-and-so's not listening to me. Can you talk to them? And what do? We have no idea why we're getting angry at this kid or why we're talking to this kid, but we just start yelling or we just start, hey, you need to sit down and listen. And instead of what I like to do and what I've seen others do is ask our wives, what did they do wrong? So I can address the problem directly. rather than just getting angry or getting upset quickly and blowing things out of proportion. But taking the time to zip your mouth shut, listen to whatever the issue is. Ecclesiastes 3:7, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. In Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon writes that there's a time for everything in life. And he points out there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. In our lives, we just talked about this morning, controlling our tongue and how important it is to control our tongue and how a little spark can blow up into something much larger. And so, at times, when we're talking to somebody who needs encouragement, the first thing that we need to do is listen. There'll be time afterwards to help them, to encourage them, to maybe help solve the problem. But the first thing that we do is, hey, what's going on with you today? And then listening. Asking questions as they come up. I was talking to a counselor who she used to go and counsel people that would go to like natural disasters and the National Guard and stuff like that. And she would counsel them. They kind of debrief them. And I said, well, what did you say to them? And she said, nothing. I asked them questions, but they talk 96% of the time and I talk 4% of the time. And in that 4%, she's asking questions and she's simply saying, well, then how can I help you? First Peter 3:8 and 9, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. We need to keep this in mind as is showing each other this love, being sympathetic and harmonious towards one another. Or with each other. And to take time to listen. It says not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Hey, people might come up to you and they might insult you or they might hurt you in some way. But you don't retaliate against them. A lot of the times when you talk to people that are hurting and they're angry towards you, they just want to feel like you're listening to them. Active listening can diffuse a lot of situations, not just in a marriage, but anywhere, at any time, listening to people. Point four is to offer meaningful, constructive criticism. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28, it says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Constructive criticism is good. It helps you grow. It might be something, hey, given to you that is difficult for you to hear. But it's so important to hear it rather than have people kind of beat around the bush and hide it from you. Because why? Because you can solve the issue. You can grow. You can learn from it. But at times, our constructive criticism can be kind of not so meaningful. And it could be, hey, it doesn't really apply to the circumstances that the person's in. At times, we need to sit back and we need to observe ourselves for a minute. And think about, I'm offering this constructive criticism to somebody. Do I have something going on in my life that is needs to be solved before I help them through their issue? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? As we try to help people and encourage people, at times that even means giving ourselves constructive criticism. Because the only person that knows you better than you is God. And sitting back and saying, okay, well, I noticed this issue with somebody. Do I have something that I need to solve first? But still, as we're offering meaningful, constructive criticism, we're trying to help those that are around us. And I'm not saying you guys don't ever give me constructive criticism. In fact, I want you to. I want you to. But I am also encouraging you guys to have the right attitude about it for the right reasons. Think about what Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We might come across people in our lives that are difficult to get along with, to put it nicely. What do we do? Do we belittle everything that they do? Do we talk down to them? Do we disrespect them? Do we pour out hate onto them and criticize every little thing that they do wrong? Or do we still continue to talk to them with respect, with love, with encouragement? We need to make sure that we are helping each other with love in our minds. Not just, hey, I'm here to tear you down, but I'm encouraging you, I'm building you up, I'm strengthening you because I care about you, because I want you to succeed, because I want you to do what is right. But the constructive criticism, I want to talk about this for 1 second, needs to apply to the situation. Let me ask this. Tim, since I said you're always going to be my example, when's the last time you think you shot a basketball? Okay. Tim, if I said, hey, I come up to you next week and I say, hey, listen, I noticed when you shoot a basketball, you break your wrist too early. Tim's going to be like, well, why does that? I haven't shot a basketball in years. How does that apply to me? What am I going to do with that situation? What am I going to do with that advice? We need to remember what Proverbs 14:33 says. Wisdom lies in the one who has understanding. Getting all the facts, getting all the information that we can to deal with whatever it is, whatever constructive advice that we're going to give. Tim may never shoot a basketball again. So he does not need the advice, hey, you need to make sure that you don't break your wrist too early. It doesn't apply to him. Giving meaningful, correct, applicable advice, constructive criticism, can help people succeed. And yes, it might lead to a difficult conversation, but you're doing it with love in mind, encouraging them to continue to grow. The last point that I have up here is to offer help and resources. In Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. In Hebrews 13:16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for such sacrifices God is pleased. As we talked about, looking at the person next to you or thinking about somebody who is weighing on your heart or your mind right now, that is going through some kind of difficulty. What help, what resource could you offer them? As I got up here, I said thank you to all of you, because in the last month we have received, I want to say like 15 cards in the mail from different members of the congregation here, saying, we're praying for Mason, we're so excited for you to come, saying, hey, we're ready, and just offering encouragement. It doesn't take a whole lot. I know that cards are very expensive nowadays, but it doesn't take a whole lot to say, hey, I'm going to write a card and send it in the mail. But it goes a long way for somebody who is in trouble to say, hey, I'm thinking of you. What can I do to help? Making those sacrifices of your time, of your money, of your food, it tells people, it shows people, hey, we care about you. We want to support you. We want to help you through this difficult time. Proverbs 19:17, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. 1 John 3:17 and 18, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Taking care of the people around us. There's really not a better way to show your faith, to represent your faith, than to take care of and support those that are in need. As James says, there's pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our Lord is this, to take care of the widows and the orphans in their distress and to remain unstained by the world. Taking care of people. That's letting your light shine out into the darkness. You're building up and strengthening and encouraging those that are in need. James 2:15 and 16. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? here's somebody who has a need, and you say, oh yeah, you know, good luck. What does that do for them? Not a whole lot. You say, oh, you know, be at peace, be warmed, and I hope you be filled. It doesn't go very far. It's good, it's nice, it can be encouraging, but at the same time, making that little sacrifice. How can I help you? What resource can I give you? I'm not saying, hey, go give everything that you have to the people that are in need around you, but even just a little bit can help people. Especially those that are in the body. Especially those Christians that are around you. Because we have a list of people who are in trouble, who have some need, whether it's financial or physical or health reversals, or are stuck at home. There's a list of them. And if you've listened to the news recently, here's down in Texas, these people who are going through tragedy after these flash floods. And think about even just how we can help them, saying a simple prayer. Or those that are closer to us, that are bed or that are home-ridden and can't get here on Sunday morning, going and checking on them, writing cards, making dinners. Whatever it is that you can do, you need to find it. I can't tell you what it is. You need to find, hey, this is my role. Go and do it. And encourage those that need to be encouraged. And the great thing about, or the thing about that, is all of us can use encouragement at some point of our lives. Even the most confident person in the world will have a day where they are not so confident. And you taking the time saying, hey, you keep going, you can do this. That will help them. Support them, encourage them. So with that, we offer this time this morning. I know that we didn't talk about what it takes to be saved, or we didn't talk about the need for baptism this morning. But we now have this opportunity to offer up the ability to be baptized, to be added to the body of Christ, to have your sins washed away. And it is a commitment to make. It is a commitment to God saying, hey, I'm going to try my best to do what is right. And if you've been studying, if you're ready to make that commitment today, today's the perfect day to do it. So I ask, if you're ready, or if you need anything else, if you have any other spiritual need, please come forward as we stand and sing number 889.